The morning after the night before, Colb. I mean, what do you make of it?
I'm having deja vu. Did we do this? Did we do this last year?
Yeah, the answer to that is yes, and the answer is yes to 2 years ago, yes to 3 years ago, and yes to 7 years ago.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I know. It was like we knew it was going to happen, kind of, right? We just knew. We just kind of had a feeling something was up. But, hey, we saw what they were. I mean, they were supposed to be the team that scores and outscores everybody and scores goals and scores and puck possession and scores. We got a little bit of everything. And you know, when it got a little tighter, you know, some of the criticisms that everyone's had throughout, you know, the last few years is, listen, this isn't going to be playoff hockey. You're going to have to find a way to, you know, like the game they came back in the other night, guys, like the epic game. I was sitting there, you know, 3.5 minutes left, an absolute electricity, just the epic comeback. What did they do? What happened? A little desperation. They got to the net. They rammed around in the net. Yes, they executed some nice plays, but they had traffic. They had guys in there. It was like insanity. You know, and that, I think that had to be a little bit, obviously a little bit more with the way they play. They have to have that factor, that, you know, that desperation around the net, grit, like grinder style. Just a little bit more in their game.
Everyone was talking about how whoever gets the host, be the host bubble city, they're going to have a huge advantage. I think it was the opposite. I think it would have been tough for Edmonton and Toronto to play in their home building with no fans and having to get dressed in another room. What do you think of the makeup in the bubble and Edmonton and Toronto playing without fans in their home rink?
I think the bubble obviously has been turned out great. Like the first little while I was like, this is brutal. Like, look at these things over the seats. Like, I don't know. And then your eyes and your brain kind of get used to seeing that. So, you know, just for a fan, for me at home watching hockey, I got used to it. I thought it was good, but I think you have a point, Ziggy, because like when you're, you know, on a team and you're in your home city and you're playing, you're never going to a hotel room. You never go to these situations. So it's all like, you know, and then, you know, you're bouncing around into dressing rooms that you've never seen before in your own arena. It's a little bit definite awkward day-to-day stuff, right? But I think everyone was dealing with it, but I don't know if I can say that there was a definite home rink advantage when everything was just as weird as it was, you know. Like this is like the weirdest we've ever seen it. So and I don't know, like, does that play into, you know, hockey right now as well? Like, you know, the pause and the pandemic and, you know, waiting this long to come back, guys, does this play a little bit into, you know, where your team looks like? Because, like, for me, like, a trend that I've seen through this, and I'm sure everyone's seen it now, is the skilled, more skilled puck possession style teams that play a certain style found it a lot harder to get to their game. They found it a lot harder, whereas will and grit, it came a lot easier for a lot of these other teams to kind of find their game. I mean, when you can infuse that will and that grit, it made these teams be a lot tougher to play against, obviously in key games right away out of the gates, rather than sitting around and searching for, you know, good times. Instead, they just went and just, you know, the teams that were built that way just went, and it was just automatic for them right away. It just straight lines, pump it ahead, keep them to the outside, let's block some shots. We're ugly, but we can get to our game faster.
With Colby Armstrong, here's the other thing, Colby. With the Leafs, I kind of thought that the series with Columbus reflected their regular season before the pandemic. You know, I don't think they played that badly in game one. They just didn't score. And then they bounced back with an epic performance, and that was the old aha moment. Like, we've seen that a dozen times. That's the team. There they are. That's what they can be. It doesn't mean they have to be at that level every night, because you can't possibly be that consistent, but that's who they are. And we saw it In Nashville after the loss to Chicago. We saw it after the loss to Carolina. We saw it in the back end of the home and home with Pittsburgh in February. They got embarrassed in Pittsburgh. They bounced back and played the Penguins great. They went and played very well in Tampa and won after the David Ayers Carolina game in February. Like, they had a tendency to bounce back. And then in game three, they were pretty good for the first half of the game, coughed it up. We understand that. We ignore the first 56 minutes of game four because they provide this epic comeback. And then in game five, couple of goalposts, yes, but they more or less fall flat on their face once more. I mean, to me, it was just an extension of the entire regular season. And so if I'm Kyle Dubas, and if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm assessing the whole thing. If I'm a Leafs fan, maybe the blessing here, Colby, is that they can't sneak off on a fancy run so that the front office or anybody else can forget about what they actually were in a larger sample size, which was a very talented roster on paper that was decidedly average or just slightly above average in a big, big sample like the regular season.
Exactly. I think that's like when you sit and look at it, when you're going to sit and look at it, if you're Kyle Dubas or, you know, like we're doing right now, that's exactly what you explained is probably the bigger picture takeaway of exactly what they are and exactly what they were this year. And, I mean, Scotty, you nailed it there because the inconsistencies, the ups and downs, the ability to give us sparks and flashes of what the Leafs team is supposed to look like, what Kyle Dubas has put together, what he expects. We saw bits and pieces and flashes of it. But we also heard and saw, you know, immaturity, comments from the coaches. You know, we see it throughout the season, just immaturity in their play, right? And, you know, the inconsistency that comes with that a little bit. And, I mean, you're playing against a team in the standings in this first round that lost a bunch of key guys, like a bunch of guys that, like, you know, the hockey world deemed to be really important players for their team and stands no chance. And they had virtually the same amount of points throughout the season. I mean, they're playing it was literally a series just now of styles, just straight up styles of how you're going to play and what you're going to do to win. And Columbus stuck to their defensive blocking, keeping to the outside, epic forecheck, retrieve pucks on the forecheck style. Way more consistent than what Toronto was able to do with their puck possession skill work. And that was exactly like you said, Scotty. It was exactly their entire season.
Can the Leafs win, Army, though, with this? Can this makeup of a team win? I mean, Berkey has said he's been very vocal saying, no, it can't work. And now he's calling for Nylander to get traded. I've always kind of questioned saying you need a little bit of mix of everything with the right leadership in the room. Where do you kind of stand with this team right now moving forward?
It's funny because you talk to other players, you know, and you know, people you work with, and you're like, wouldn't it be fun just to be able to play the way the Leafs played? Like, if you could play in that system, like, wouldn't that be, like, the most fun as a player? It's just like, drop pass, twirly loop, flip it back, line change. Here we go, boys.
And, hang out of the puck.
doesn't
matter who you are.
In your life, it's just like, get out of here. You know what? Loop back. You got three guys on you. Keep it. That's what we do. It doesn't matter. If you're exhausted and there's, you know, you're just dying for air, you know, look for a drop pass over to the guy so that we can twirly back. And it's like, you know, it just looks like some of the most fun hockey if you're, you know, if you're playing. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, this has been the big criticism with, you know, the makeup and the people you have. And I think, you know, you go get Kyle Clifford, and, you know, we're praising Jason Spezza, 37-year-old, for getting in a scrap to kind of turn the tides the other night. But it's been the criticism. Can this team win with the way they're playing? Is this idea better than the other ideas? And, you know, we've heard from Kyle Dubas. We've heard, you know, this is how we think our team is built. This is how we think our team is built to win, and the style of play that we're going to have is, you know, a direct correlation of how we've built our roster, and this is the success that we're going to have playing with these certain players and playing this certain way. And the big criticism has been, it's not going to work when the playoffs come. Good job in the regular season. Not going to work when it comes in the playoffs. And we saw an up and down regular season, and then we saw in the playoffs again. It's found a tough way of finding that that works. I find it tough to see that that would work come the playoffs. So I think, you know, Berkey's right. I think they have to definitely look at some of the personnel. They have to definitely look at a certain style of play that will give them a better chance of winning. And it's easy to say, oh, we hit a couple posts, but like Scotty Mac said, you saw it through the entire season and now here into the playoffs with certain up and down play.
Colby, how do you upgrade the defense?
Oh, when you're paying guys up front that much, like what was that? Is that a Rask? Was he just on and said that you saw a tweet with the, they're making 30 some million on the one line? That was more than the whole forwards?
Yeah, it was about the same. The Leafs top line of
34 mil, 35 mil.
Yeah, Marner, Matthews, and Tavares make about the same as the entire Columbus forward group. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I flip it on, and it's like, if I got to see Martin Marincin on Twitter, you know? Martin Marincin, I'm like, well, you can't get anybody else. You can't get it. You can't get the guy that you want. You don't have room. You can't find him. There's no chance. So you're stuck with guys that they think are good in that, you know, in that little pocket of guys. And then that's what it is. And so you're going to have to move somebody. And right from the start, it was always kind of been Nylander, right? It's always kind of been, what are you going to do with him when he was holding out and wanted his money and wanted to get paid and in a fight a little bit? And it's likely to be him, a guy that, you know, has speed, skill, and can maybe fetch you something fairly good if you can move him.
We'll be reaching out again, pal. We're going to stay on top of the NHL playoffs. What's the mood like in Pittsburgh right now with the Penguins bowing out?
Oh, this is much the same hits I've been doing here. the same ones I'm doing, you guys are getting right now, are the ones they're getting right here in Pittsburgh as well. So it's a letdown and a different picture, right, guys? And because you've got an aging core group instead of a young core group in Toronto. So it's a little bit of a different conversation of, you know, is the Penguins team kind of getting over the hill and what happened and what are they going to do moving forward? And so much the same, but a little bit different.